I take as my text this morning the last few words of Revelation 19 and verse 10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When John, in his vision, fell at the feet of the person who came to speak to him, the person who came to speak to him was clearly a Christian who'd gone to be with the Lord in glory, one of the brothers, one of the brethren. And he was appalled that John fell down to worship him. And he said, "See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant." And then he uses this wonderful phrase, "of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." The word testimony is a translation of the word which means witness. We have the word martyr in English, which has come to be reserved to mean one who witnesses even to death. And it's the death that is the important part. But it is the word for a testimony, for a witnessing, for a speaking out concerning. "I am one of you," he says. "I'm of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now, John was a prophet, and the latest book of the scriptures to be written by a prophet, a New Testament prophet. And he is being assured here that prophecy is always about Jesus. Not even here called the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus. Prophecy, the spirit of prophecy, from the very earliest days, is all about Jesus who would come. And that is very interesting, because you would have understood that if he had said, because it was Old Testament days, it's all about the Messiah, which of course being translated is Christ, they didn't know that it was going to be Jesus who was the Christ. So if it had said the spirit of prophecy is about Christ, then we would have understood as well. But here the emphasis is absolutely unmistakable, coming as it does right at the end of the Bible. It's the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. He has fulfilled. He is the Christ. Now, you remember, it was revealed to Mary, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The name Jesus means Saviour. And you can immediately see the emphasis of the Bible. The emphasis, the thrust of it. The testimony of a Saviour. The testimony of the Saviour. The testimony of Christ as Saviour. Men from their sin is what all of prophecy is about. From the beginning of spoken prophecy and the continuing of written prophecy in the Old Testament and through into the New. Now, it is with that in mind, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, that I just really wanted you, as it's Christmas time, wanted to take you through some of the early things that were conveyed. First of all, in Luke 1, do you remember when John the Baptist was announced? It was announced to his father that John would go before him, that's the Lord Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elias. That's Luke 1:17. You may not want to, I should go through too hurriedly probably for you to look up. But here you see, here is a testimony to Zacharias, the father of John Baptist, before John Baptist is born, and it's a testimony concerning Jesus. John will go before Jesus in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Luke 1 continues with a testimony to Jesus. It's the angel Gabriel again. And in Luke 1 verse 30, the angel says to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Still further testimony, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The testimony of Jesus, that is the spirit of prophecy. And though these are the words of an angel, they are spoken before the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they are speaking these things beforehand. Elizabeth, when Mary goes to visit her, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth now is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. It came to pass, Luke 1:41, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, whence is this to, and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Testimony to Jesus. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. She owns that this one who is to be born, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be her Saviour. We move on in Luke to chapter 2. And now you see we come to the testimony of the shepherds. We're going to consider the testimony of the shepherds, the testimony of Simeon and Anna, and the testimony of the wise men. Just to see how great a testimony this was to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there were shepherds abiding in the field. And you remember that the angel of the Lord shone round about them, and the angel said, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Testimony to the Lord Jesus. Though he's still but a babe of an hour or so old, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the shepherds went. And the shepherds, you remember, they came and found Mary and most Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen as it was told unto them. So what's going on? Here is a testimony to this child. There seems to me to be no doubt, bearing in mind that Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart, that the shepherds added the testimony that they received high on the hills to Mary. And it's quite likely that Mary shared with the shepherds the testimony of Jesus that we just read about, that she had from the angel Gabriel and also concerning Elizabeth. And so the shepherds go out, bearing in mind what they'd heard from the angels and what they'd seen of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds go out, we read, and all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So, 30 years before Jesus enters on his ministry, 33 years before he dies on Calvary, there is a conclave of people in Bethlehem who are now on the lookout for the fulfillment of the testimony concerning Jesus. It is to be hoped, expected, and I imagine it happened, that there were many who remembered that day in Bethlehem who, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, asked about these things, thought about these things, and came to believe in the ministry of that child to their own personal, eternal salvation. The scene moves 8 days later to the time when Jesus is circumcised. But 40 days later, they go to Jerusalem, 6 miles away, and they go to Jerusalem, and the wonderful description concerning Simon, Simeon, and the Holy Ghost. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, that's Christ, the consolation of Israel. And listen to this with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple just at that moment. And he took the Lord Jesus up in his arms. He's 40 days old. And he takes him up and he blesses God. And he asks that he might now leave this earthly scene because he's seen the Saviour. But listen what he says. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Then Anna comes in, and in verse 38 of Luke 2, she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There were a number of people who, though at the times were very, very bad, were actually praying and fasting and waiting for the coming of the Saviour. And Anna said, he's come, Jesus, I've seen him. And so now, you see, the testimony of Jesus has reached Jerusalem. Just to those, perhaps, who were there in the temple, just to those who were looking for redemption, but they were going to be crucial. They were going to be those who, when Jesus came to Jerusalem, many of them, obviously not Simeon and probably not Anna, but many of them in 30 years' time, would understand that this is the boy they saw. This is the one that was spoken to of them. That this was Jesus, the Lord's Saviour, the glory of his people, the light to lighten the Gentiles. And then, of course, there are the wise men of Matthew 2. The wise men, they probably come next. I think they have to follow after this 40 days, but probably not too much after the 40 days. But you remember, the wise men came to the Lord Jesus, and they brought their gifts, and they presented gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we considered on the Lord's Day how the prophecy that a star would come out of Jacob, written to us in Numbers, the words of Balaam, had been preserved through Zoroastrianism. Zoroaster was a Jew, and he preserved those words, and he founded the Parsi movement, and the Parsi movement had gone on and had known that those words were there in their writings all the time, that one day there would be a star, and this star would represent a king in Israel. And so they were commanded by Zoroaster all those years ago that when that happened, they should bring to him gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's what the commentators say. I've not read the originals, obviously, but they say that that is written there in their books. So when they saw the star, they came. And they came, and they came to Mary. And you remember, of course, they came to Herod. And Herod was very hostile, although he tried to disguise it. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, what we have here is these wise men bearing testimony to Jesus thousands of miles away, saying to all their Parsi friends, saying to those who worship, now that king has been born. They knew that he'd been named Jesus because he was named Jesus after 8 days, and they were there some more than 40 days after, and they knew that now the name was Jesus. And so they would have gone back, and there would have been an enclave there in their part of the world, and the word would have spread, and it would have become known among those who were interested to know, and among those whom God appointed, that there was this testimony to Jesus, even at this time, particularly busy around the time of his imminent birth and the time of his birth and just afterwards. I conclude by saying that these testimonies are for us and for every generation. They are that we might know that Jesus is the name above every name, that Jesus is the name of the Son of God, that Jesus is authorized by God to save sinners, that it is the only name, that he is the only one. And just to draw the conclusion, the shepherds, well, if you like, they're representative. They're representative of Jews, so that the Jews may know they have a representative who loves the Lord Jesus, and of course the apostles were Jews as well. But let's see these shepherds and wise men as representative on behalf of the whole human race. The shepherds represented Jews, and the wise men represented the rest of mankind, the Gentiles. If you want to look at it another way, the shepherds represented the working class, if you like, the artisans, and the wise men represented the learned. But you see, there's a place for all sorts and conditions of men. And all this is summed up by the Lord in those who came and bore testimony at this time. But others coming afterwards, whether they be working class, whether they be uneducated, or whether they be educated and educated working class, but whoever they are may see that there is a testimony fitting them to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they might be encouraged to believe. The shepherds were nearby. The others came from a long way away. And then again we see that there are those who come out of a culture of hearing and believing the word of God, but there are millions who come from no culture. For them it's a long pilgrimage to come and to believe in the word of the Lord. We might say that the shepherds were poor and the wise men were wealthy. Jesus was very poor, had nowhere to lay his head. And yet he is for us all. You could say that the wise men were sent to those who were hostile, to Herod, who was particularly hostile. The shepherds were sent to those, if you like, who received them friendlily. The testimony of Jesus is going to last on earth until the Lord Jesus himself returns. It's a wonderfully personal provision for all who will take it on board. And the call goes out in the scriptures by the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.